Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we are joined by Dr. Pants, whose motto is, and always has been, that thick thighs save lives, as we talk about Fans Toy's new masterpiece scaled Huffer. Some new licensed Beast Wars figures are about to crash the market, and a brand new Windblade statue is on the way. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, 2021, and this is episode 437 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that gets more hits than Trump's blog. But that's not exactly a high bar to clear. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Hello, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hello. Let's discuss Transformers.
That didn't seem right.
Daryl, do you need a minute? It sounds like you're a little backed up there.
let me try that again. Let's converse converters.
All right, now we are trademark. We are not infringing on any trademarks or diluting any trademarks, so that's good.
There you go.
I'll just wait until we get into the third party news.
As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show. It really helps us out and keeps us going. And we welcome back returning Donatrion Emmett, who has re-signed back up as a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions Podcast. So thank you again, Emmett, and welcome back.
Right on, Emmett.
Yeah, awesome.
And you are, as one of the perks, of course, you are automatically entered into our monthly Toy Hacks drawing. So you are now in for June. So at the end of June, you've got a good shot. And as a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions Podcast, that's a pretty high level. So you get two entries into the contest every month. So congrats. Good luck. So this week we have the next episode of Empire of Rust. This is episode 51, Space Dungeon Spongin'. And this just came out on the Empire of Rust feed Monday, June 7th. So it should already be available to you. If you're subscribed to the main Transmissions feed, you get that automatically. If you just want Empire of Rust, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/rust. And that's where you can subscribe to just the Empire of Rust feed if you so desire. So check out the team is continuing their assault, trying to get to the heart of the Cybertron first terrorist group led by Quick Switch, and hopefully they will be confronting him very soon as they come close to the end of this season of the first season of Empire of Rust. All right, so let's get into the show and talk about some toy news.
All right, and this week I'm going to start off by talking about a bevy of Fans Toys figures. We got a lot released this week, and two of them are definite. I know that they're coming out, or they have come out, actually, and two of them, I'm not sure. So we'll talk about those in a second, but first up, we got Fans Toys FT-47 Rig. It's their masterpiece scale Huffer. And he looks fantastic. It's tough to compete with the Huffer that just came out in the main line, but this is masterpiece scale, and it's better. It's all better. You know, the price point is harder to kind of work on because it's a mini bot. It's $120 US for a mini bot, but it's Fan Toys quality, so you know you got that to work with. It definitely looks good. It's definitely Huffer. It toes Prime's trailer, carries the load, as he says in the show. It looks great. Exactly what you'd expect from Fans Toys. The second one that came out this week, it's out. Like, it's released. And everywhere I look, these two are sold out. Like, they're done. This is Fans Toys FT51 Chomp, and it's their masterpiece scale skull cruncher. I keep wanting to say skull smasher, but that's what they called their when they didn't have the name right. So this one has been around for a while. We saw great prototypes of it back in 2018, and they've been working on finishing off those G1 Decepticon headmasters for a while. They've got the Mindwipe, Dragula, and the Weird Wolf Lupus, and they've been out, and they're done, and they're good. But this one is finally done, and it's out, and people have bought it, and yeah, it looks good. So we got some pictures of it here in the team with Dragula and Lupus, and we got both pictures of him in crocodile mode. And I mean, he looks great. So again, Fans Toys produces really nice stuff. Like with the Huffer, it is sold out. $240 figure, and it's gone. Like, you can't find this thing anywhere. Expect to see it on Facebook groups in a little while for like $400. So that's what happens with these things, is people buy two and they kind of scalp the second one. So that's what happens with Fan Toy stuff. The two that I wanted to kind of talk about a bit is the two that kind of showed up this week as, well, from what I thought were just kind of like fan creations, but they kind of showed up with Fans Toys numbering and names, and they're all just like computer generated images. But now these images have shown up on the Show's eStore site, you know, with them taking deposits for pre-orders. So this is number 48, Fans Toys FT48 Jive, which is their jazz figure, and FT49 Phantasm, which is their Mirage. Now, both of these figures, there is no price point on them yet. They're just taking deposits on this one site. No other site seems to have them. Again, you might know a site. I didn't check every single site in the world, so I may not have found them all. These two are only one image exists. They're both robot modes, and I can't seem to find any other information on them, whether these are legit or not. So I'm going to start with Dr. Pants. What do you think of all of this Fans Toys news this week? Do you think these two, 48 and 49, are legitimate? And, you know, are either of these Huffer or Skullcruncher are figures that you've been looking for?
So I'll start with the Jazz and the Mirage. I 100% believe they're legitimate because it seems perfectly in line for Fans Toys to do this kind of thing, and I'd be shocked if they didn't have this in the ready. When it comes to Show-Z or Show-Z Store having the pre-orders, I've always noticed that they tend to put the pre-orders up before anyone else.
Okay.
So it might be that these just might pop up later, and they're just trying to get as many people to buy from them as possible. Because, as you said, these Fans Toys things go like crazy right away.
Yeah.
In terms of them, I mean, they're just the CAD images are just, you know, the art renderings. Like, there's not an actual figure there. They look fine. They look like Jazz Mirage. That's cool. The Huffer and the Skullcruncher. Huffer, I'm not a fan of Huffer as a character. He never really one of my favorite characters. I did get the Kingdom one, and he's a really cool figure, but I don't need a Masterpiece one. On that figure, though, I will say the paint looks nice, but I hate the shoulders.
And I'm pretty sure that
it's apparently G1 accurate, I guess. If you look at his character from the cartoon, his shoulders were that low, but my God, that looks stupid. Shoulders don't go there. That's not where they belong. But other than that, I mean, it's a cool-looking figure. If you like Huffer, you're probably going to like it. I love the Skullcruncher. I love all the headmasters. Autobots, Decepticons, like all of that era of Transformers. I love that stuff. And Skullcruncher looks absolutely great. I would love to have all of these Fans Toys headmasters, but unfortunately, I never got Dracula or Lupus. And I doubt I would ever find them for a reasonable price. And honestly, Skullcruncher for almost, what was it, $240?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's way too much for a single, like, Masterpiece bot. I can't drop that kind of money on that. If it was maybe, like, $140, possibly, because I've got I've got the Make Toys Chrome Dome and Hardhead, so I'd like another Headmaster Masterpiece scaled one, but I can't do 240. That's way too much for that. I mean, maybe it's worth it. I've never actually bought any Fans Toy stuff, so I don't know. But it looks cool. I just not 240 cool.
All right. Jeremy, these are a lot of figures to talk about at once. Fans Toys is, I'd say they're the premier of the third party stuff, right? The price point has always has always kind of put them there. I'm wondering if though they're now, I mean, they've probably caught on. They caught on a long time ago. I think that their aftermarket value is worth something. So if these are their prices now, I think that they're probably raising their MSRP. I'm looking
they're
back
trying to
on
get a bigger piece of that pie.
Exactly. So I'm looking back on some of their older figures and not going back right to the beginning, because like Quake Wave was one of their first figures and he was great and all, but you know, not that far back. I'm looking back on FT 15 Willys. He's a $100 figure when you would when you could buy him brand new. This is, you know, kind of keeping with the, you know, the smaller kind of mini bots as well. Even their new, I guess their new Spindrift is a $100 figure. I guess that's kind of in keeping. What I'm wondering is, do you think that they would do something like that? I don't see any other figures going for $100 anymore.
I think it's basic economics. If they're seeing the secondary market is having a large markup, why not, you know, increase your prices? Because clearly your figures have a higher value than you're charging for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous in general to me. I'm like 240 or 140 or whatever. Like for these figures, it's just like the Huffer, I could see $70, maybe $100 for a masterpiece mini bot, you know, kind of in scale with the old official car bots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think a markup for a third party, but for a mini bot, that would be reasonable. But 140 for Huffer is just way too much, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Even with, you know, everything that goes into the design, like all the extras that you get with third party.
Yeah. I'm just looking back on some of my old orders at BBTS, and the original Spindrift that I bought from them was $60. FT27 Spindrift. A $60 figure. Their Spindrift right now, $100. Their FT22, their cup figure called Coot, I had pre-ordered it and canceled it, but I still have the original price here, which was $100. This is the kind of thing I'm kind of leaning towards. I think there might be something there. If you're listening to this and you're a big fan of Fans Toys, do you see this? Is this something that you've kind of thought yourself? What is, why do you think that the prices are going up? That's kind of the thing I want to get into here.
Well, and are you okay with the increase in prices when you're trying to complete your collection?
Are you a person who buys two because you want to sell one and get the second one kind of essentially for free? Kind of you sell a second one for double the price. Is that even still possible now because the figure is it really still worth double when they're raising their prices by, you know, 20%? Anyway, it's something to kind of discuss later if we get some questions or discussion topics about it. Charles, I wanted to go to you about this because you're a big fan of Fans Toys. And I assume that you've got all of these pre-ordered, even the ones that aren't even out yet. Like the one here that the big question, and I want to know what you think because you've got your ear to the ground on all of these things, is we're looking at Fans Toys numbers 70, 47, 48, 49, and 51. They jumped 50. They skipped a number here, and the fandom's going crazy. They want to know what the hell Fans Toys FT-50 is, and I know that you know. Let us in.
Masterpiece Bludgeon.
Oh shit.
No, I have no idea what FT50 is, no idea why they skipped it.
Although,
it's probably something.
If it's Masterpiece Bludgeon, we're taking the win.
I'll take it. Like Jeremy and Dr. Pants, these prices are way in the upper atmosphere. I'm not getting a $120 Huffer or a $240 Skull Cruncher. I mean, also, I appreciate that these are very kind of cartoon animation model accurate, but they still look kind of plain to me. Like, okay. You know, just the robot modes are, they're very simple. I do like the accessories. Like, I like Huffer's little mini machine gun that he carries around. I think that's cool. And it looks like it has two pieces, so he can kind of two-fist it. Skull Cruncher, the Headmaster is cool. Yeah, I like, you know, it's nice to have the accessory with the Headmaster. They just look kind of plain to me. Like, they need some Toy Hacks label sheets to, you know, spice them up a little bit. And then the Jazz and Mirage, I mean, I want to believe, but these renders are very, like, they're very fuzzy. I mean, I imagine they are real, but I'd like to see more details on these guys.
It does look like they took him from a TFCon announcement and basically cropped and scaled up the image, enlarge and enhance without the enhance part.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure the fan stores are working on them, but we have just the fact that their Show Z put them on their pre-order list, that doesn't give us any indication that these are coming soon or even, you know, in production or anything like that. So we'll still have to wait and see. I wonder what their prices are going to be given the huge markup on Huffer and Skull Cruncher. These guys will probably be maybe $200 a piece or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that I do kind of think about with regards to 48, so the Jazz figure, is that for Masterpiece collectors right now, the go-to figure has been the Make Toys Meteor. No, not Meteor. That's Starscream. Whatever the Jazz one is.
Downbeat.
Downbeat. That's right. I have one. I have two, actually. but I can't remember his name. Jesus. So Make Toys Downbeat. And he's a phenomenal figure. But similarly with Hasbro Takara, when a new figure comes out that the fandom automatically gives precedence to, the Facebook groups and whatnot are just flooded with the seemingly subpar versions. This would be that premier figure, you know, automatically, even before people would get their hands on it. As much as I am a big fan of Downbeat and I love it, the fandom will turn its cheek on it and they will get rid of it. They will toss it to the curb. And that's something that I really just, I hate seeing. But yeah, that's something that I expect to come if this is in fact true. But that's it. That's all I had to bring to the show this week, a bunch of Fans Toys stuff. If you are a Fans Toys collector and you are big into these figures, let us know. Let us know what you think about all these figures coming out, you know, the news and whatnot. I'm genuinely curious as to what you think. But that's it. That's all I had. Jeremy, what do you got?
I have some news about the upcoming YOLO Park Bumblebee movie Shockwave Plamo, which is their model kit line. This will be shown publicly at Wonder Festival Shanghai, which will be June 13th and 14th. It follows their Optimus Prime, also Bumblebee movie Optimus Prime, which is 30 centimeters tall, and I would think Shockwave is probably going to be about the same. I mean, this is very impressive. It's non-transforming, you know, as a model kit, but it is officially licensed. And we have, like, some additional pictures here that just show kind of the interior, all the little pieces and stuff, and then you can put the shell on it to kind of give them a smooth look. And this is a very intimidating model kit, in my opinion. Looks like lots of little pieces. And I'm curious as to why Hasbro is licensing YOLO Park and Flame Toys to do their model kits. I'm guessing YOLO Park is going to stay in the movie side of things, but this looks very impressive. No idea on cost yet. I looked around and places just had pre-orders with deposits. They didn't have the actual price, but we'll probably know that after the Wonder Festival. But Dr. Pants, you are a model enthusiast. What do you think of this guy?
It looks really, really good. And it sets my model senses all a tingle because anytime you show me a new model kit of something I love, like I love Shockwave, I'm just going to be like, ooh, where can I pre-order this? And the initial images look really, really good. The ones with him, like, looking like normal Shockwave from the movie. Looking then at the interior pictures, like, all the stuff underneath, and seeing how big the Optimus Prime one was, I think this might be something I'm priced out of. Because even though we haven't got a price yet, just knowing how these things go, I have a feeling this is going to be, at the cheapest, $150 to $200.
Wow.
There is a lot of interior detail in there, and I'm not sure how much of it is movable and whatnot, but I'm having trouble pinpointing like specific joint pieces and everything, and it looks like on this one and the Optimus Prime one, there's LEDs. Because the face on Shockwave, if you look at the interior, that's a clear yellow piece in the head. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an LED that you could put in there. It looks really, really good. This is amazing stuff, and if I had the money, I would probably gladly go into it. Now, if I'm wrong and it is a bit cheaper, I'll probably jump on it because I love that design. I think this looks great, but I think it's going to be really, really expensive.
Yeah, most likely. It's a lot of plastic, it looks like. Well, Daryl, I know you're like me. You have a couple of sets that you've not put together. I think you've put together more than me, though, in terms of the
plane. I've just done two.
Yeah, so that's one more than me. What do you think about the Shockwave?
I think it looks good. I did a little quick little search of Yolo Park on Big Bad, and they do have a regular sized figure. Not regular size, sorry, just a regular non-model figure. It's pricey. It's $3,000. It's also massive. So these guys don't do anything relatively small. They go big or go home, kind of a deal. Yeah, it's they also seem to do a lot of like numbered stuff. So I expect this to be this model kit, even if it is, you know, smaller. So I mean, this Optimus Prime figure that I'm looking at on the Big Bad site, it's 25.3 inches tall. So it's pretty tall.
That's not the model
kit. That's not the model kit. So the one that we're looking at,
the model kit's 30 centimeters.
30 centimeters, which is just under a foot, right? So just under 12 inches. These guys like to go big, and that's cool. I expect this to be, you know, still pretty pricey. You know, the Flame Toy stuff is about $60. You know, I expect this to be around 100, maybe 150 if it's limited, you know, limited quantities.
Can I bring up one quick thing that'll change your mind on that?
No.
Damn it. I'm on Yolo Park's website, and that Optimus Prime one is listed as materials, ABS, PVC, metal, and electronic parts.
Hmm. Yes.
It's got metal in it, so...
That's true.
That definitely kind of distinguishes them from Flame Toys.
That's true. So that's, I mean, I still think that these model kits are still going to be around $100 to $150, and they may be limited quantities, which is still, that adds a little level of prestige to it. That's probably why Hasbro's licensed it out to them, because they're going bigger than Flame Toys, and you might be right that they're staying in the movie line, because this Optimus is a movie figure from the Bumblebee movie, so they might be limited just to that movie.
Right. Well, I mean, that movie is the most G1-esque of all the movies.
Sure. But as far as this goes, I'm not really interested in it. It is another model kit, which if I'm going to do models, then I gotta decide to do models, kind of a thing, right? And like, you know, and it's just not my bag. It's not what I'm into.
Charles, I know you are like me and you have multiple sets that you haven't opened yet. Would you care to like drop an obscene amount of money on plastic you have to put together yourself?
No, not an obscene amount of money. I have dropped a little bit of money, but they were on sale, so I felt like I could do that. And yeah, even though the Bumblebee movie is closer to the G1 aesthetic, it's still not, you know, the thing I'm looking for. So, I mean, this Shockwave looks good. I mean, I do like it, but I'm probably not going to get this, but I do see how, like, I like the interior, like it's got all the, you can see all the, like, inside its casing, you can see how detailed it is. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I do have one more thing I wanted to talk about, and this was mainly because it is kind of just so out there. But the Japanese company QD1 Toys, I'm sure we've talked about them in the past because they have a line of G1 plushie figures, and they're adding to their G1 line Optimus Primal and Beast Wars Megatron, making these officially G1 Beast Wars. It looks like it's only for sale in Japan right now for around $50. But they, you know, they are just very, they're very chibi. It's like big heads, kind of squat bodies. But I don't know. I just thought it's fun. I still kind of prefer the ones that you would get at TFCon that are more homemade. I don't know. Do any of you guys have any comments on these in the market for plushies?
So these are plushies or are these pop vinyls?
Oh, they are soft vinyl. Sorry.
Okay.
But they look like they're sewn together and they've got zippers on the mouths, yeah, and everything, which kind of reminds me of like Sackboy from Little Big Planet on the PlayStation. It kind of gives me that vibe, but they're weird. Yeah.
You're much more innocent thoughts than I am. I'm looking at these thinking S&M.
Yeah, these are cute, but yeah, I agree with Jeremy. I prefer the homemade ones that you can find from fan artists at TFCon. And that's that, you know, and plushies, I haven't been sleeping with stuffed animals for at least 5 years, so I probably won't get these. And I think my kids are growing out of them too, so there's no one in my household who's really in the market for these, unfortunately.
Yeah, but G1 Beast War. All right, well, that's all I got. Dr. Pants, what do you have this week?
Well, let's talk about some exclusive figures. Let's see. I have the new exclusive to Amazon pack, the Kingdom Battle Across Time collection with Deluxe Sideswipe and Maximal Skywarp. So this is supposedly an Earth Mode Sideswipe. So they did flatten out the front and they colored the windows in blue to make it look more Earth Mode. And it looks like the white that he was made of is a little bit more white. But otherwise, it looks very much like the Siege one without the grime all over him. I will say that the flat front does look really cool, especially with the big Autobot logo right there on his chest. And I appreciate the two little bumps on his collar there that kind of emulate the G1 figure. And then we have Beast Wars 2nd, which I thought that was weird that they're doing that figure. Beast Wars 2nd Skywarp, who is a repaint with a different head of Air Razor. So now it's done like a bald eagle, and it's got a head that is basically, you know, Beast Wars 2nd Skywarp, but is also the same head as Silverbolt from the Magna Boss combiner that we got in Beast Wars. The only difference is Skywarp has a silver face like this one. But, I mean, these look really cool. It's nice to see we're getting an Earth Mode Sideswipe. He does come with an extra gun instead of just the shoulder blaster, and Skywarp's got his little wrist blasters. These look really, really cool. I mean, anybody down for that? That's awesome. My only issue is while Skywarp and Beast Wars 2nd was part of the combiner and Silverbolt was part of the combiner, this one's not going to combine. It's not going to make Magna Boss. And that makes me sad. Before I go around to everyone, one last thing. It seems like we're getting another exclusive, and that is War for Cybertron Deluxe Red White Emergency Lamborghini. I'm not familiar of a character with that name in G1, but I'm going to assume it's Red Alert. And considering we got an Earth Mode Sideswipe, it only makes sense that we would get an Earth Mode Red Alert because it's an easy repaint to do. This is going to be exclusive to Walgreens, and this is supposed to release in August 2021. Around the same time, I think, yeah, or no, the Battle Across Time pack, the Skywarp and Sideswipe, that's November. But, I mean, cool that we're getting some of these. It kind of sucks that Red Alert is a Walgreens exclusive, at least I think so, because I have no Walgreens near me. But I don't know if I'm going to replace my Siege Sideswipe in Red Alert, but I kind of want the Skywarp. He's really cool, but let's take it around and see what everyone thinks. So, Charles, what do you think of these?
These are a big fat meh for me. Yeah, the Sideswipe, I mean, I guess it's cool that they finally are giving us an Earth Mode, but I really, in that car mode, the way you can like see the like that pattern on the windshield, that, like, I'd prefer just a solid windshield color. It looks distracting to me. I do appreciate not having all the battle damage grime and grit on it. So it's a nice brightly colored clean sideswipe. So if you haven't gotten the Siege sideswipe mold, I guess this would be something to pick up. But then I really don't care for the Skywarp figure. Not that it's bad figure or anything, but just like I have no interest in this bald eagle. It's kind of like you're paying extra for,
You're un-American.
Clearly, I'm sure there are folks who would agree with that. You're paying extra for this bald eagle that, I have no interest in. So I can see why these are special exclusives to pre-order online that are not getting a mass market release. But I don't know. It just seems like another odd pairing. I mean, I appreciate the experimentation that Hasbro is doing to kind of, do interesting repaints and then package them as these kind of, weird pairings. But this one is kind of a miss for me.
That's fair. Anything about Red Alert? Interested in picking that up at all?
Nah.
I kind of
think. Sideswipe is marginal, and Red Alert is a step down from marginal for me.
Jeremy, what about you? Are you picking up this pack? Or are you getting Red Alert at all?
I might on both. I don't know why I have so many versions of the Sideswipe mold, but at this point, one or two more. I do hate that they didn't add, one thing that they could have added to this Earth Mode Sideswipe that I think would make a lot of people go for it is if they added a...
Spoiler?
Spoiler, yes. It's like a little thing that I think would have really done a lot. And then you could have Cybertronian without a spoiler and Earth Mode with a spoiler make a big difference.
It's the only thing that kills me about Sideswipe and Sunstreaker is neither one came with a spoiler.
I imagine Red Alert's going to come out with a little light bar that they already have for, a barricade and stuff.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a third-party upgrade kit for this to add a spoiler to the back of Sideswipe.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to figure it out, though, because that's where his legs split apart. But it would make such a difference on the car mode, I think, because that car just it looks so weird without a spoiler in the back. Sideswipe was like one of my favorite characters as a kid, and like many kids in the 80s, just the Lamborghini Countach was just like the car that you always wanted to have. I don't know. Hopefully there would be like a third party add-on, but I don't really have any love for Skywarp, but I do have the Air Razor, which I haven't opened yet. I think it's fine. And I do like how they're kind of packaging a popular figure with a like less popular or more unknown figure like this. And I'm tempted to get this. I'm probably going to get it, especially if it's an Amazon. Like if it's available on Amazon, I likely will get it. The Red Alert is Walgreens, and those are always harder for me to find sometimes. And Walgreens always adds by $3 to $5 on the cost. But like I said, it's another Sideswipe remold repaint. And at this point I have a bunch of them, so might as well.
All right. That's a good way to look at it. Just get all the Sideswipes. Have them all.
And then it'll be like, you have the people that have like that multicolored Batman thing from that one comic. They have like the figures and all the different colors, and they have all the different Sideswipes just on its own shelf.
That'd actually be a really nice supply. It's a really nice display. I like that. All right, Daryl, we know that you don't like Beast Wars that much, but what about Beast Wars 2nd? You have to love that, right? So that means you're going to get Skywarp.
I mean, it's kind of cool. I could give the bird figure to my daughter. She seems to like bird figures. I would be buying this for the Sunstreaker. Sorry, the Sideswipe. I'm kind of with you guys, though, with the lack of a spoiler. It needs it. There's only other one other reason why I would be buying this set, and it's that every other one of these damn sets goes through the roof in the secondary market because people forget to buy it And then they're like, oh shit, I need to go and get a Sideswipe. I can't get one. It's not in the main line. Oh, it's in this stupid two pack that's sold out. Oh, damn. Where, how much is it? $150. Holy crap. And then they still buy it. So, you know, that's what's ridiculous about these things is that they sell for stupid money after the fact. While you guys have been talking and I've been listening, I'm looking up old, you know, exclusive two packs and stuff. You know, the Ironhide and Ratchet, sorry, Ironhide and Prowl one is $150. The Siege Ratchet, which was a lot easier to get than, you know, should have been, that's also $150. The Deluxe Centurion Drone, Jeremy, you got one of those, right?
Yeah.
It's $200.
Shouldn't have opened it. So you're saying I should just go ahead and buy two of these?
You should just buy two of them all the time and just have this, have a shelf that's just stocking them. And then, you know, you sell one later, you know? It's ridiculous. I don't know. That would be the only reason why I would buy one of these. And the Red Alert, I like it. Again, needs the spoiler. But yeah, I appreciate them flattening out the nose. And it does look a lot more of a, you know, an 80s Countach. I know car guys are out there, might be listening. I know that there was a Countach without a spoiler. But Sideswipe had a spoiler. He needs it. He's got to have it. So it's not right for me yet.
I have pre-ordered it.
I'm still deciding if I want to pre-order it, but
I'm weak.
Me too. And I and Daryl has made a compelling argument for me to pre-order two of them. So
yeah. I'll forget, and then November I'll have a nice surprise.
There you go.
But
early Christmas present from past Jeremy to future Jeremy.
Past Jeremy's awesome. Future Jeremy's stuck with the bill.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's past Dr. Pants is a jerk because he always leaves things for me to do. And I yell at him a lot for that. But this is the only time I appreciate his work.
But I'm also on your side with the whole Magnaboss thing. You know, Dr. Pants, I love Magnaboss as a Beast Wars combiner. I think it looks dope. And why make this stinking figure? Like, you know, don't build a figure that looks like frickin' Silverbolt, not call him Silverbolt, and then, you know, not be able to do the combiner, right? Like,
well,
come on.
I was wondering about not calling him Silverbolt, and I came to the realization they probably didn't go with that because there's a more notable Silverbolt character from Beast Wars.
Yeah.
So they went with the Japanese version, which I'm okay with. But
sure.
Yeah. The Beast Wars combiners, both of them, I love them, and I wish they would redo them in a modern way or just re-release them because I think they're really, really fun. And the fact that they're putting out this figure and it doesn't combine, that's stupid. It's just stupid. Don't make a combiner piece that can't combine.
Exactly. Well, I mean, also the problem is these are opportunistic repaints, so you can't get a proper combiner out of just repainting already engineered figures. You'd have to engineer new figures to do that.
Right. And to be honest, what would they repaint Airazor into aside from Skywarp or Silverbolt? I don't think there was really a repaint of Airazor in the normal line. Well, that's all I have for this week. Charles, what do you have?
All right. Well, it's time for everyone's favorite non-transforming statues. And
woo!
We've got Azure Sea Studio bringing us an officially licensed Windblade statue. And this is a hyper detailed Windblade. If you were just getting tired of all the controversy with the Flame Toys Windblade, you've got a brand new Windblade to complain about or praise. I don't know whichever one you want to do. I think this one looks pretty good. I like the pose. I like the details. She's, I guess, hunting a mechanical bird. I don't know. Did she ever do that anywhere at any time? Apparently there's birds on Cybertron now that the Autobots need to hunt. But other than that, it's a cool pose, very detailed. She looks good. Yeah, it's a cool figure. It's pretty large. It's 56 centimeters tall and 58 centimeters wide. So that is about 2 feet, 2 feet tall and 2 feet wide. That's pretty big statue. So we don't have any pricing on this one, but I imagine this is going to be pretty expensive with this large detailed figure here. Daryl, what are your thoughts on this Windblade?
Well, I think it looks pretty good. Very detailed, like you said. I think it looks awesome. I was looking at the this mechanical bird, as you call it. I was like, you know what? That kind of looks like the bird mode of Double Dealer because the colors are right. It's probably just some random bird that they just, you know, put Decepticon colors on. But yeah, when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, maybe that's Double Dealer. I know that when this was announced, everyone kind of went through the pictures that they were showing. And a lot of people that generally complain about this kind of stuff focused in on what they thought was a tentacle coming towards the rear of the figure. If they looked at the pictures, they would see that that is the mechanical bird's tail. But I guess I can see how it would be mistaken for a tentacle. Anyway, there was complaints, as there would be any with any, you know, Windblade figure. But I don't see any real problem with the actual figure. It looks awesome. All the proportions, all the female curves and stuff are all very well proportioned. Nothing's, I don't think, is over sexualized on any of this. It looks good. It looks really badass. Did it say whether these are there's LEDs or anything in it?
Sure, it looks like
it. It doesn't say it,
but the pictures, unless the pictures are just photoshopped, the eyes do look like they have LEDs, but
yeah,
we don't have a confirmation yet.
I mean, it does also look like the swords have electricity that flow around them, so you know. That it could be just something that they've done for the photos.
That's not real? That's not a real effect?
It could be. I mean, it could be something that once you plug it in, you just cannot get near it. But I think this looks awesome. I think it looks really cool. You're right. It's freaking huge. Yeah. I don't know who this is for, but and there is no, that I can see. I can't see any kind of pricing on it anywhere, but I like it. I think it looks pretty badass.
All right, Dr. Pants, what are your thoughts?
I'm not gonna get it because I don't do the non-transforming statues, but I appreciate the detail that went into this. It looks incredible. I love the detail on this. I think this looks way better than the Flame Toys model kit does, like in detail and everything. I love the pose. It gives me this feeling of this is what Windblade would look like if she were in that first part of the Bumblebee movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I like that. I think that's a really cool design. And by the way, the mechanical bird is Cutthroat.
Oh, because in
issue 3 of the Windblade miniseries, she ends up fighting Cutthroat, and that's what he looked like.
Oh, so interesting. Good catch, Dr. Pants.
Well, I appreciate the comments on the posts that were given here, because while you guys were talking, I went looking to see if anybody had figured it out.
Oh.
And yeah, I actually never read the Windblade miniseries, so I wouldn't have caught it, but still, that's really, really cool. And, I mean, taking a moment from the self-titled miniseries, that's perfect ground for a statue, but mm-hmm. I think it looks great. There's no way I'm going to buy it unless it, for some reason, it was under $100, which there's no way. It's cool. It's huge. It's going to be impressive. And whoever wants this, I hope they enjoy it.
All right. Well, you still get points for reading ahead, Dr. Pants.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for doing your due diligence.
I like to do research.
All right. Jeremy, what do you think of this figure?
I mean, I don't really have a lot to add. I think it looks great. It's likely out of my price range. I do see on their Facebook on June 2nd, they said that the price would be announced on the 3rd, and we still don't know the price. So I don't know what's going on there, but it is likely out of my price range anyway. But I don't really get the expensive statues. But I do think this looks amazing. And like Daryl said, there's nothing like overly sexualized. It looks like Windblade and looks like, you know, she's kicking ass. And I think that's great.
All right. Well, that's all our toy topics. So we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the awesome Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition on our YouTube channel. We'll also have the audio right here in the podcast so you can keep listening as we can describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
Vespa Transmissions podcast will return after these messages.
All right, well, let's start off with what we got. I got nothing again. I'm sorry. I prostrate myself and beg forgiveness to all the listeners out there. But I will pass it over to Jeremy. What do you got this week?
I got one thing, which I'm cheating a little. I'm going one by one out of the stuff that I got from the Hasbro box that Hasbro sent me. So it's this or I'm with Charles and having nothing. So I opened up the Sparkless Bot, which is like the rusted looking barricade and Prowl and all the other ones that use the same mold. I really like the paint. Just as I thought, it's not textured at all. I really think if this was textured, it would look really good. But as it is, I think the paint job looks really good. The rest of him is pretty much unpainted, except for his eyes. My lighting in here, really. Except for his eyes, like, it's just the dark gray plastic. The one place that the paint really does fail, though, is where it has to go over the clear plastic. It, as is typical with paint over the clear plastic, it never really works as intended. But on the whole, I think this is a really nice looking figure. You know, if prices weren't what they were, I would say you could army build zombie bots. But with prices what they are, I really doubt anyone is army building these figures.
I'm sure somebody is.
The same people that are buying $3,000 statues. Yeah, this is great. I guess I do have to say again, this was provided free from Hasbro.
Thank you, Hasbro. All right, we move on to Dr. Pants.
It was a slow month for me, so I have a couple figures. There is a theme here, and you'll probably figure it out when you see the first one. But the first one is...
robots.
It is robots. That's the theme of this room that I'm in. But I got Generation Select C-Wing. So I got one of the C-Cons, because they got restocked on Hasbro Pulse. And he's really, really cool. The transformation is really nice.
Were they $100 each?
No. the deluxes were $30-$35 a piece. So.
Oh, that secondary market took a real hit.
Oh, well, I got these off Hasbro Pulse, so, you know. But we'll talk about that in a minute here, because my next one is, I got Nautilator. The Generation Selects Nautilator. Yeah, we're 2 for $6 right now. I'm a third of the way there. But wait! I got Scalar, too. Is it Scalar? Is that his American name? The fish?
Yeah. Yes.
I get mixed up a little bit sometimes between this and the Japanese names, but I got him. And lastly, can you guess what it's going to be? I got Snaptrap! I am two-thirds of the way to a Piranacon. Hasbro Pulse has not restocked Overbite or Tentakill yet, and Hasbro, if you're listening, please, for the love of God, restock them. Put the pre-orders back up so I can get them. I need to finish this. Hasbro listens, right? That's why you guys got free stuff? They're listening to this. They know.
Yeah, sure.
Please, please. Or just, like, contact me. Let me know. I just need them.
They haven't restocked my Scourge or Cyclonus yet.
Oh, ugh. The thing with these is the reason I picked them up, even though they were pricier, my first Transformers as a kid were the C-Cons. I had the whole set. When I was little, I didn't clean my room once, and my mom threw them all away. Yeah.
Moms do stuff like that.
So,
they were your first figures?
Yeah, they were my first figures.
You're very young.
I'm 35.
Yeah. He's a baby.
I'm not like young Daryl young. I'm not going to defend the movies or something. I'm not that young.
And that's harsh of mom. Like, don't clean your room once and you throw the toys away?
Right, and here's the thing. It was so long. I was so young that to this day, I don't remember that happening. They just tell me, and like I find little bits and pieces of the original ones around, so I know I had them. And like I remember the big pink and green turtle. So I had to get the new versions of these because they're cool. Like I miss the C-Cons. I almost went and got the God Neptune, but instead I went for these because the colors are better. It's way more 80s. I love it. But so yeah. Here's hoping Hasbro listens. Please give me my Overbite and Tentakill, please.
All right, cross our fingers for a full Piranacon next month.
Oh, here's hoping. Good God, DJ Ronan too, because he commented he's about two-thirds of the way through two. So for both of us.
All right, Daryl, wrap it up for us.
I just have a couple little figures here. This is something that I found at the store and just was like, I don't have enough motorcycle figures, and I'll just pick this one up. And I didn't realize it was the Beast Hunters version, so now I realize now that I'm missing like the little clip-on, you know, weapon stuff that they had, but I don't care. It's a cool figure. This is Beast Hunters RC. Very cool figure. Really, really ingenious transformation. Very straightforward. There's like four or five movements and you're done. It's pretty cool for a motorcycle transformer that they're usually pretty tough. But this one's cool. Great figure.
How is the balance? Does she stand well?
Yeah. She stands great.
Even though the backpack that motorcycle bots always have tend to...
Well, it's balanced out by her enormous feet. So, yeah. But so she's cool. She's a great little stand, like motorcycle figure. And RC in Transformers Prime was awesome. I got two figures here that kind of go together. If you remember G2, they introduced a character in G2 called Dreadwing. I got him here.
Oh, I love these guys.
And Dreadwing, he comes with some missiles. So he's got this massive, massive missile launcher on the top there. And
he's overcompensating.
Yeah, he's got like 12 missiles he comes with. So he's a really cool stealth bomber, and he came packaged with a second figure, and exactly who you think it would be, G2 Smokescreen. they're great. He does actually, like, if I remove that, I'd actually have to move it out of the way completely. It doesn't matter. But Smokescreen actually will seat inside him, and that's how they kind of go. And then he would kind of like a sound wave kind of a deal, he'd launch him out and then he'd go off on his own little missions. But they do both transform into fully functioning robots. The missile launcher, I don't know if it's defective or not, but it doesn't really want to hold the missiles. But I think it's supposed to, like, you're supposed to be able to twist them. Hey, there you go. So, yeah.
Nice.
I know when that B2 bomber came out, Hasbro probably was like, oh, this is going to be... It's such a cool-looking plane.
It is. It's really cool. And it has a third... Like, it's a triple changer, so it has a tank mode because it has... what stealth bomber isn't complete without tank treads? But, so it's very cool. The robot mode of Dreadwing is... I mean, he's fairly, you know, stout. you know, he's still cool. He's Dreadwing. G2. One of the few original characters introduced in G2 that weren't just rebuilt or remolds. The last thing I got isn't a figure at all. It's something that I've been trying to get for a while. And I saw that Amazon had a $20 coupon on the thing. And I was like, $20 off? I'll take that. So I bought a light box.
Ooh.
And I don't know who this company is. Amadeal? I'm wondering if they're associated with Amazon. But it's been working Am's pretty good. Yeah. I've taken a few pictures. This whole thing kind of folds up and I can carry it around. I don't know if if I would do that, but it does it. So it comes with a bunch of backdrops, and I can make my own backdrops to put them in. It's neat. So I've been working on trying to take better pictures, and hopefully I can. Because I bought this really expensive phone that takes really nice pictures, and all of my pictures have been shit. So,
Well, you did get an Android phone.
Realized that my room that I'm in has very yellow lighting. I needed to get this, you know, white light box. So, there you go. But, that's pretty much what I got this week. And, yeah, I look for some better pictures on my Twitter feed. So if you, hopefully I can take some. I've been trying really hard.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's trips to the store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
It is getting closer. TFCon Baltimore tickets are on sale now. TFCon Baltimore is October 22nd through 24th, 2021, at the Hilton Baltimore Inner Harbor. And the pricing is going to be, the premium weekend pass is going to be $110. This gives you advance option to purchase convention exclusives on Friday night. You get front of the line for early admission to the dealer room on Saturday, and obviously access to all the programming and show floor. And this is limited to 100 people. The regular weekend pass includes early admission Saturday, and all the programming is $55. The deluxe Saturday pass is basically just what the weekend pass gives you, but just Saturday, that's $40. General admission, which is after 12 on Saturday, is $25. Sunday pass is $20. And kids between 5 and 12 are $5 each day. There's no charge for kids under 5. So, Daryl, you can bring your new baby.
Fantastic.
The Friday customizing class, which likely is sold out as you're hearing this because that always goes really quick, is $80. And the TFCon t-shirt is $25. So, I think that is in line with what we've seen in the past. They do have a warning here about, you know, COVID-19 stuff. They're just going to be following all public health guidelines. But hopefully in October, things are going to be a much better place than they are right now.
Get your vaccines, people.
Yeah, get your vaccines and out to Baltimore. I am likely not to be able to go to this, but I know there's been some discussion about other people on the podcast wanting to go. So, you know, hopefully we can have a presence out there.
Yes, this is geographically advantageous for myself and Dr. Pants and Cybertronian Beast. So
maybe, yes. It is within drivable distance. So any people in
no
the
promises
listening
yet,
area,
but
that, yeah, we want to maybe listening. Do a convoy. We're going to do a convoy from Canada.
And this is, I did my undergrad at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, so.
Does that get us a discount?
No. Sorry. But I do have lots of friends in the Maryland, D.C. area, so I had to see who's there, so I'm not, I can't go there and, like, not talk to anyone. they'll be upset that I was in town and didn't say anything, so. I have to figure that out.
Just tell them that you're a podcasting big shot.
Yeah.
And Transformers are more important, obviously.
Than friends and family, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, some friends and family.
The Transformer friends are important.
The family?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, with that, I think convention news is over.
It's not exactly. We'll have more news. Not exactly. The other thing for the Baltimore show is that the hotel block is online as well.
Yeah, I think we already mentioned that in the past weeks. But yeah.
Did you?
Pretty sure we did. But the hotel block is online. Everything is at tfcon.com.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, we give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions at the end of every episode. So, thank you again to John4x11good and Dinobot Maximize for contributing at our highest level, being the highest level Donatrions. You guys are awesome. And Dr. Pants, thanks again for joining us this month. Where can people find your stuff online?
You can find me and my friend/co-hosts at NurseYourDamas.com. Most of our stuff is on the Nurseyourdamas YouTube channel, so if you want to check out there, we're usually talking about fun stuff, video games, robots, apparently hot sauce, because that's a new video that went up. But you can find us also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're Nurseyourdamas everywhere, except for Twitter, where we're Nurseyourdamas DL. And if you are into video games, the weekend after you're listening to this, it is E3 weekend, and at Nurseyourdamas we always do live reactions, trailer reactions to things going on, so make sure to keep updated over the weekend. We'll be doing that kind of stuff. And I might be at a convention that weekend doing some live posting and blogging. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, that is it. Thanks for having me, guys. It's always nice to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that hot sauce video, I saw the title and I thought, is this a Transmissions crossover? Is Dr. Pants versus Apollo? And then, oh, it's Apollo hot sauce. Okay.
I mean, all if right. Apollo wants to try the Apollo hot sauce and see if he can do better than me, I welcome it.
Well, we'll have to ask her next time she's on. We'll see. All right. And before we go, of course, if you are interested in buying some Transmissions merchandise, you can go to our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And, you know, anything you buy from TeePublic through that link will help out the show. So you can buy some of our cool shirts. You can buy some masks, buy some other merchandise, or just any TeePublic stuff. So, but don't go to TeePublic.com. Just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye. Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Thought I beat Daryl out. Urgh.
The light box seals the deal for Daryl.
He's like, I have reclaimed my spot again.
I got to try harder next month. Spend all the money.
Yes.
Who needs to pay a mortgage?
Is that a compressor above your shoulder or is that an opium machine?
No, I'm not in
sure
an opium
it's not
den.
An opium machine?
I'm pretty sure.
Is that an opium den that you're in?
Does this look like an opium den to you?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Guess I'm living in an opium den.
You should be pretty happy then.
Oh, I'm always happy here.
Are Daryl's missiles annoying? Are they hitting you in the face as you're watching the video?
Ow, my eye.
In the face! You thought I was done, but I had another dude!